nerds and chasers of sometimes useless but nonetheless fun knowledge. If this isn't your first rodeo, welcome back. And if you're new here, my name is Breeland and I'd like to welcome you to, oh yeah, that person existed? My weekly podcasting biographical rant about famous influencers in history. The lucky subject for this week is a man most known for his works like Medea, the Bacchae, Hippolytus, and of course, the Trojan women. And cue drum roll, please. The one, the only, the Greek tragedian Euripides. And just a little side note, as with all ancient subjects, I'd like to state once again that what we know about their lives comes from other ancient authors. Because our only source of information is other authors writing about Euripides, there's no telling what's actually factual versus merely just a written record of what someone heard through, like the grapevine. And after that disclaimer, it's time to go ahead and get down to business. So Euripides was born on Salamis Island sometime around 480 BC to a family whose wealth status is pretty disputed. Where his early life really starts to get interesting, though, is in the accounts of an oracle given to his father about the success Euripides would gain as an adult. An oracle is essentially a person who delivers a prophecy from the gods, and when Euripides' oracle said that he would be destined to win, quote unquote, crowns of victory, the boy's father went ahead and signed him up for some vigorous athletic training. And that's the story of how Euripides grew up to be a chiseled, hair flowing in the wind, Olympic Games champion. Psych. Okay, so Euripides wouldn't go on to be an Olympic Games champion. Sorry, Dad. But he would go on to win some crowns of victory by competitively writing plays for the Festival of Dionysus in Athens. He was first invited to compete in 455 BC, but wouldn't actually win anything until 14 years later. And even at that, he would only win three more times in his life. You see, he wasn't exactly a very well-liked guy. The things he had to say and the ideas he was portraying in his work weren't the most popular. And by weren't the most popular, I mean that not only did he continuously lose competitions and face scrutiny by his people, but even his fellow playwrights made him characters in their comedic pieces. He was kind of a laughingstock at some points in his life. So, why was he scrutinized so badly, you ask? Well, first of all, he had this tendency of interrogating Athenian society with his plays. He was quite the rational thinker and took a revolutionary approach to understanding traditional myths and ways of life. He portrayed heroes and gods alike as fragmented and broken. Nearly all of his characters are down to earth, they're human, they're flawed, and they make mistakes. He doesn't put gods and heroes on pedestals like his fellow playwrights. Euripides' characters have some major, obvious issues. They resemble real people. And when you have real people facing real problems on stage, your audience can get really uncomfortable. Depending on how you interpret his plays, he had some pretty controversial things to say about underrepresented or misrepresented members of his society. In Medea, for example, not only is the main character a woman, and mind you, quick side note, the Greeks didn't exactly treat women as people able to make conscious decisions for themselves. They were essentially grown-up babies. Anyways, so not only is the main character a woman, but she's a woman who makes a speech about how hard it is to be a woman. Shocker. But if you were seeing this play as an Athenian male citizen, you might be pretty pissed that Euripides is mocking the way that your society treats women, right? So essentially, he just kind of had these crazy ideas and views on things like war, religion, and again, those misrepresented or underrepresented members of society. And it seems like they didn't always sit well with his Greek audience. Euripides would write about 90 plays in his lifetime. 19 of which the test of time has allowed us to still have today. Legend has it, when his last wife cheated on him, that's one of two, he ran away to live a life of solitude, wallowing in self-pity, and writing plays in a cave by the sea somewhere in his hometown of Salamis. I personally like this version of an aging Euripides the best, since other sources say that he just kind of voluntarily exiled himself from the city rather than face death like the other men thought to have a corrupting influence on the people. Some people even think he was torn to pieces by Molossian hounds in Macedonia. And by hounds, I mean hounds, dogs. The man was torn to pieces by dogs. We'll never know how our Euripides met his fate. And honestly, I don't think it even matters. In his lifetime, he wrote tragedy pieces that would challenge and change the way his society functioned. And the fact that some of his plays were reproduced enough for us to still put them on today speaks of the important role he played in shaping history. So, I invite you to read some of his plays, or watch some of the modern films based off of them. The man had some pretty cool ideas about how society should function. And although he wasn't the most well-liked guy of his own time, the fact that this podcast even exists in his name over 2,000 years later is a funny fuck you to his critics. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Oh Yeah, That Person Existed. It's always a pleasure to have you all listening and interested in history like me. And of course, I'll leave you with some parting thoughts. In the words of Euripides himself, I tell you, there is just one life for each of us, our own.